When God looks at you and me, God looks at us with a special eye. You know what it's like to have such love for your family, for your kids, for your friends. See, love is so powerful that it overlooks mistakes. Love is so energetic that it'll jump over any obstacle that life has placed in its way to get to that recipient of your love. It doesn't matter what barrier is there. True love will jump that barrier or will go through it. That's love. And God said, I want you to understand that I created you for you to be able to receive my love and for you to be able to return my love. Now, here's the key. God so loved, well, while I'm in it, let's just stand up and read it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. May God's blessings be upon the reading of his holy word. You may be seated. We have learned since the beginning of the year that God is spirit, and that spiritual love supersedes all other emotion. Love of God is more powerful than any experience in existence, and you experience love. Either in the giving or receiving, you experience it. It is a journey. How many of you have looked at your husband and said, I love you, but it's been a journey? I mean a real journey. That's what life is. And God chose to create us anyway. God knew all the messes you were going to make from the time you were born, and he created you anyway. That's love. He knew all the mistakes, all the foolishness. He knew how many times you'd turn your back on his name. He knew the times when you would be embarrassed to profess his son Jesus, and he let you live through it anyway. You see, there's nothing that I can do that's going to stop that spiritual love of Almighty God that he has for me. And you can't stop it either. God loves you anyway. Did you ever say something you wished you hadn't said? Yeah, a few minutes ago, know what I mean? Yeah. And then you realize I can't take that back. Do you know what God does with those foolish statements you make to him? The scripture lets me know that he would wink at it. Because he knows that we are human. He knows that we are weak. But he wants us to know he isn't human, and he ain't weak. He's all powerful, full of love. You see, you bring joy to God's heart. You, as an individual, bring joy to God's heart. How do I know? He sent his son to die on that cross for you as an individual. I love you. Signed, sealed, and delivered. Well, the tomb couldn't hold that love. That love had to come back. You and I weren't born yet. And in God's plan, time will not end. I don't care what politician tells you it is. Time will not end until God sees that that last individual who will be saved is saved. And at that point is when God will say, that's enough. And we go into the next era of existence. Oh, it ain't over when you leave here. Well, you're just barely getting started, folks. Or you're not even a twinkle into it yet. See, I'm talking about real life. This boot camp down here will last you between 70 and 100 and whatever years, I guess. Shorter if you're blessed and you know Jesus. God says, I am that I am. Tell them I am sent you. God says, I don't need a name. I am. God is spirit. Wasn't born. Always has been. Well, I can't figure that out. Good. I remind you, the day you can figure out God, wrong God. God then sends his son. His son makes sure that everything's taken care of for you and for me. And then, for you to understand that, he sends his Holy Spirit to seal it, him, within us. Born again, born from above, born anew. I know Jesus. Well, what are you going to do with I know Jesus? He created man to receive his love, but to share it with each other. To express my love to you in action. The greatest expression of my love for you is this. Jesus Christ is Lord. He lived for a purpose of dying for you. He gave his life. He became the ransom. He made sure that the sin debt that you and I owe was taken care of. Stretched out his arms and he said, this is how much I love you. Oh, he's coming back for you. Now, you might meet him before he gets back here. Either way, you're going to meet him. You're going to be with him. You hear me, Christian? So he creates man in his image, meaning God's spirit, his image is spirit. You did not become animated, moving, grooving, any of that. You didn't become animated until God breathed life, his spirit, into man. And you became a living soul, a living being. And God said, now, I've expressed all my love to you. I've given you my one and only son. I've forgiven you. I've fed you. I've clothed you. Here's what I want you to do. Don't ever be ashamed of my name. That's a name. Beyond all names. Now listen to me, people. I'm not talking about just somebody. I'm talking about God. not just on anybody. He is the one and only. He is your life. He's your forgiveness. You want strength? He's the one to give it to you. You want to be lifted from the slump of life? This is the God that will lift you from it. Well, why aren't I lifted? Maybe you lack the misery of a cesspool of life. I know a lot of people who do. A lot of people live in a lifestyle of pure misery. And you say, I want to help them break that lifestyle. I spent a whole ministry, 42 years, working with people I wanted to help get out of the ditch of life in prisons and jails. I saw a few make it. But I saw a multiplicity of them choose to stay in it because it becomes their lifestyle. Don't mess it up, chaplain, preacher. Don't mess up my way of living. I do not want to mess your life up. I want to give you strength and joy of your living that life that God has given to you. And I want you to know something. My Lord says that I can live the good life. And folks, I'm living it. Has nothing to do with money. Has nothing to do. You know who the happiest people are? It's with a survey taken. Barna Institute did this. Christian group. Did a survey on who were the happiest people. And the most wealthy or the poorest. Well, anyway, to cut through this. The ones who were the happiest were the ones who could feed their family, had shelter, and had clothing. And I thought, really? Those were the happiest. Not wanting the greatest and not being at the bottom. Take care of your family. Family's important to God. Because you see, that's the next of His creation. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, man, now today, family, the family of God. Now, you're a part of a special family. I mean, my goodness, of all the families I've met over the years, I was raised in a family it was hard to be raised in. If I had chosen, I would not have chosen to have been raised that way. But nevertheless, that's how I was raised. And God used me anyway. And God saw a snotty-nosed kid from Buffalo Hill in LaRue County, Kentucky, and said, I'm going to call you to preach. Oh, that would have been a joke on that hill. I had a mohawk. And a grass string to hold up my brother's breeches I was wearing. But God didn't pay any attention to that. You know why? God loved me. And God loves you and chose you. You are who you are because God allowed you to be the R. And God says to us, I want you to remember your family now. You all notice I'm hitting that a lot in the last couple of years, the importance of that. You know, your family now. Well, how do families act? Oh, gosh. Well, ever so often you'll find there's a few bad actors in every family. Yep. And you go to the homecomings. I don't go to the homecomings. You know, when you're a prison chaplain, jail chaplain for that many years, and you go to the homecoming, too many are embarrassed because you saw them where you worked. And you didn't want to have to deal with it. Think of this. God sees me where I live, where I work. God sees me every second of my existence. And do you know, he still says he's my father. He hasn't disowned me. But here's what's happened to the family of God. Too many members of the family of God have refused to stand up for the family of God and for the name of God and for the name of Jesus Christ. We have made the name God that we call him, Jehovah, we have made it generic. It's a generic God that we serve. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, is anything but generic. A one of a kind, just like you are. You're one of a kind. And never be somebody else like you. That's why we love each other. Brother Larry, you're the most different preacher I believe I've ever been around. Yep, but Brother Larry loves you. You all are a little shaky yourself, if you'll notice. That's called a human existence, isn't it? Reality living, I call it. Let's get real. And God looks to your life. He looks to my life. And he says to you, and he says to me, I am real. You tell the world. I'm not a part of their imagination. I'm the creator of it. Tell the world about me. Tell the world about my son. Tell the world about the gospel. But what happens? Oh, Lord, we loved you. We love you so much. Here's the question for the family members. Are you ashamed of the name Jesus? Are you ashamed of being called a Christian? Yeah, I belong to a church. I don't care what church you belong to. Listen, folks. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life? I don't care what Christian denomination you are part of. I want to know what relation you're part of. And when you claim Jesus as Lord and Savior, you're a brother and a sister in Christ. You got that? Now, the key is, don't be ashamed. Oh, we know the Apostle Peter. Oh, he's called the Rock. The name represented, the Rock, solid rock, really? He is also 100% solid human being. Listen, folks, you don't know how you're going to act when somebody got a sword to your neck. You don't know what you're going to say. Oh, I'd never do that. I'd always stand up. Don't even get around me. You don't have any idea. If you haven't been in combat, keep your mouth shut. Do you ever get so afraid you can't move? But you don't tell anybody. Fear. Fear of what? The unknown. Fear of being confronted with dying or death. Itself. Jesus says, don't be ashamed of me. Peter said, Lord, you'll never see that from me. I'm the Rock here. Everybody else, all these other disciples of yours, they're a bunch of sissies anyway. I'm the Marine in the group. I want you to know, I'll never, never be ashamed. What happened? Peter was ashamed of the name of Jesus to the point that he denied the family. Well, you're part of that group. That group that they call the Way. That's what the first Christian, the Way. They're that group over there. They're the Way, following Jesus. The Way, the Truth, and the Life. The Way. They had arrested Jesus, tried going to the cross. Peter, you're one of them. No, not me. They kept on him to the point that Peter had to get it across to him that he really was not a part of the family of God. He wasn't one of the Christians, one in the Way. So in order for him to get it across, the Scripture said, and Peter cursed. Surely he wouldn't be a part of that group. He denied Christ. But Jesus didn't deny him. Jesus knew him, knew his heart. He had it in his heart. His body just didn't go along with what his heart was saying. Peter did, Apostle Paul did the same thing. Paul said, oh, what a wretched man am I. The things that I don't want to do are the very things that I do. And the things I want to do, those are the very things I end up not doing. Oh, what a wretched man am I. Apostle Paul cried out, of all sinners, I'm the chief. Now, in studying this scripture, you know, it gets you in a frame of mind of, what? I'm reading everything that these guys have put down. It's God's holy word. God used broken vessels like you and me. Now, you're not 100% solid in your thinking. You got me? You haven't arrived yet. You're still on a journey. But on that journey, don't you dare deny Jesus. He's the only hope you have. But will you? Yeah. Yeah, you will. Will you, Pastor? Probably. It's according to the situation. You see, I don't know how I'll act until it comes against me. I can pray that it'll never happen. I can pray that I'll do it right. Because you see, I want to glorify God. I'm not in the call of glorifying man. To glorify God. 1 Peter 4, verses 16 through 19. Am I ashamed? However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed. This is Peter saying this. This is the one that was cursing to prove that he was not a part of the Way or of the Christian faith. And he's telling us, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear his name. What was the difference? The difference then, Peter had been filled with the Holy Spirit. The seal had come. He was set. And he had realized something. What good is this life at all if I don't stand for the one who's given it to me? What good is all I have if I don't glorify my Savior with it? So he's speaking from experience. You stand strong. When you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed. Go ahead and shout hallelujah anyway. Hey, if I'm going to lose my head, I hope I'm praising God in the process. That mouth of mine will probably be praising the Lord all the way off. I'm excited about that. But it comes with living, not necessarily age. But we're dealing with life. Next, am I seeking to win the lost? Do I want to reach out and tell the world about Jesus? Do I want them as a part of my family? Well, you know, I don't know. You know how family members are? Yeah, I know. I know how you are as a family member. I know how I am as a family member. I'm not always pleasant as a family member. Yeah. No, don't even start that. See, that's reality, isn't it? But the Lord says, lead the lost. You're here for a purpose. That purpose is to tell the world, look, folks, you have a retirement out of this world, and it's coming sooner than you think. And the Lord is going to bless you eternally. These few short years down here on earth, you've got hooked on them. You know why? It's the only thing we know is what we see. That's why Jesus tells us, don't focus on what you see, but it's the unseen that's real. Oh, you have no idea about your retirement party. When you leave, you think about parties. You never had the angels singing when you coming home. It's going to happen one day. It's going to happen. I don't know about the cake part, but I do know this. There's going to be so much love there, it's going to be the sweetest taste you've ever had. Now listen to verse 17, 1 Peter 4. For it is time for judgment to begin where? With the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? Look at verse 18. I want to tell you about it. And if it is hard, now listen to this, if it's hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? It's hard for the righteous to be saved. Reality living. God called Abraham and said, Abraham, I want you to leave your family and I want you to go to a land, it's the land of Ur, but I want you to go to a land that I will show you. I want you to pick up and go. He took Lot, his nephew, and they left. God had blessed him with so much, so many animals and all, until the shepherds and all started fighting among themselves because of grazing land. And Abraham says, Lot, look, you choose the land out in front of you and you pick what part you want. You take your people so we won't have trouble, and I'll take mine and we'll go in a different direction. They did so. Lot chose the land, fertile land, the most beautiful land. He had first pick. Abraham gave it to him and he went there. And in that land were towns known as Sodom and Gomorrah. Until Sodom and Gomorrah had become so vile in the eyes of God that the stench of the cities were raising up to the nostrils of God. And God said, this land will be destroyed. Abraham prays to God and says, but Lord, what if there's 300 there? I'll save it. And it goes down the numbers. It gets down and it says, Lord, what if there's 10 righteous in the city? Abraham, if there's 10 righteous, I will spare it. Abraham quit right then. He didn't get down to the one, because we find out that Lot was the only righteous one in the whole place. Righteous Lot. Lot was a little shaky from the human standpoint, but he was declared by God righteous. This is how, where the scripture comes in. If it is hard for the righteous to be saved, the angels are sent by God. They go into the city and they tell Lot, come on, you have to leave. God is going to destroy the city. Listen to me. That righteous man, Lot, did not want to leave. It got so bad in his arguing back and forth with the angels said, we cannot destroy the city until you're out of it. And the angels had to grab Lot by the arm and they drug him out. That sounds like getting your kids to go to church on Sunday morning, don't it? They drug him out of the city. Daughters, husband didn't want to come. The wife really didn't want to come. You know how we know that? They were being led out by the angels of God, and she turned back to look at the cities she loved, full of sin, the cesspool of life. And she was turned into a pillar of salt. And they drug Lot on out. That's sort of like Christians are. Go share the gospel. It'll take a group of angels to drag us out the door to share them. What's he asking for? He's not asking for you to hit anybody upside the head with the Bible. Not asking for you to go embarrass anyone. Asking you to say, why don't you come? Come to church with me Sunday. If you're new in the community, come with me. Let me tell you something, folks. In our congregation, if you don't get along here, you got the problem. This is the most loving group of people you will ever meet. I know, I've met the other groups. We care, whoever you are, come as you are, whenever you can. But Christian, don't you wait for God to send the angels to drag you out of these doors to start sharing the gospel. What is it? Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Oh, that's a horrible thing to say to somebody, that they're loved. Sometimes we refuse to ask it. It seems like it must be horrible. Or we'd be asking it more, telling it more. Jesus loves you just like you are. Don't you worry. He'll shine you up. He'll get you ready. Because he has a presentation to make to God, his Father. Your family now. And the last. Am I committed to God? Verse 19. So then, think of this, though. Listen to what Peter's saying. So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Those who are suffering, because you're Christian, because you tell the world that Jesus loved. Have you ever heard so many people get upset over the Ten Commandments? The Ten Commandments are Jewish. But you ever hear anybody get so upset over that? Speaking of love, telling you don't kill, and yet they're not even allowed in the majority of schools. Our educators talk down the name Jesus. Well, Jesus died for your sins and he loves you. You can't say that, Larry Vance. Yeah, can. And I do. Well, it upsets people. How in the world you get upset over somebody loving you? The world has a problem. It just so happens God sent the remedy for the problem. And it is up to us to take the voice of God out, to be constantly committing ourselves to telling the world about Jesus. Don't be ashamed of the only hope you have. Is your life so much different from the world? Have you ever had someone ask you, what is it that makes you so happy? Or are you so caught up in reality living that they don't see that smile coming from your heart? A lot of times my face don't feel like smiling. But when you got a smile in your heart, it's coming out. It's coming out. Because that smile goes all the way down. Pain of life is horrible. But you happen to be the love of God. You be proud of that. You want to strut? You strut for Jesus. You be proud of that name, Christian. Because the one who loves you more than any gave his whole body, all his blood for you. And then he didn't want you to have to go through the agony of death. So he conquered it too while he was down there. And it came back. But preacher, I'm going to die. You're not going to be around when that body's dying. Your Savior said, he promised, those who believe in him will never see death. Not going to happen. I'll be shouting. Some of you all will be down here crying. I'm excited. I'm with the Lord, flying around. Oh, it is so real to me, folks. Catch the reality of eternal life. Not the reality of this real world. Whew, this is rough down here, isn't it? Although I must say, not as rough as Jesus had it. So you and I wouldn't have to have it like that. That's the message. Because you see, it don't get better than that.